the Fundraising Leadership Podcast. This is episode 61, and I'm Margaret Kahn.
And I'm David Langiuli. And Margaret, we have a very special guest today, Henna Inam. Welcome, Henna.
Thank you, David and Margaret.
Yeah, I want to say a little bit about you, Henna. You're an executive coach, you're a former corporate executive, and you work with clients in the C-suite. I'm always so amazed and idolize you in a way for your work that you do with leaders around the world. You also serve on a corporate board for a corporation that's based out of Pakistan, your home country, and you are a best-selling author, and you've just come out, and I see it behind you on your bookcase with your second best-selling book called Wired for Disruption. And you were gracious enough to write a wonderful blog post on the Fundraising Leadership blog site for our audience on covering topics of agility. So we'd like to talk a little bit about that with you today.
Thank you, David. I have to say, it's a mutual fan club we've got going.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. And I also share with the audience, you and I spent about 10 months together in a leadership development program and got to know each other very well. And you are a very powerful lady. So
thank you. Thank you. And I have to share with your audience that I've seen you dance.
I think we danced with each other.
With each other. There we go.
Yeah, we did. We did. Yeah, I was letting my hair down, what little of it is left.
Yeah. You got a good kind of agility.
A different kind of agility, indeed.
Exactly.
Physical agility. So welcome, welcome. So I'm curious, what got you interested in this topic of agility?
Yeah, so David, as you know, my first book is called Wired for Authenticity. And I wrote it about 5 years ago. It came out in May of 2015. And it's about how to lead, to inspire, and to be agile as a leader. So it was both about authenticity and agility. And as I was thinking about this last year, end of last year, and I thought, we're increasingly facing a world with a lot of disruption. This is going to be the decade of disruption. And I thought, you know, I want to write a book about disruption. And then, you know, January came, and I was at the World Economic Forum in Davos earlier in January. And I happened to have a lot of consecutive sessions at the World Economic Forum. I happened to walk into this virtual reality experience, David. And you walk into a little room, and this virtual reality experience was all about being a tree. And as you know, I love trees, you know.
Yes, you do.
This was the 1960s, I'd be a tree hugger. And I love hiking. And so I thought, cool, I want to know what it's like to be a tree. And so they hand you a little seed. And then you walk in and you get your virtual reality headset, and you get your, they put a little backpack on me. And, you know, I was a seed. And then as the movie, virtual reality movie starts, I'm under the ground. And then, you know, I literally can feel myself, like, literally rising. I don't know how they do this VR thing. And I felt myself rising out of the ground. I'm a little shoot, and I see this ant, and, you know, kind of walking, and I'm like rising up again. And all of a sudden I'm a tree, and I realize I'm in the Amazon rainforest. Mm-hmm. And I feel a tug. I literally feel a tug at my right arm. I don't know how they do this. And there's a big parrot that's landed on my right arm, which is, you know, a tree branch. And it's just this amazing experience of being in nature and in the forest and in the sounds of nature. And night comes, and there is a canopy of stars. And it reminded me of my time in Tibet. walking up toward base camp. And we woke up at 3 a.m. and there was this beautiful canopy of stars all around us. And then the morning comes and I hear some sounds in the distance. And then I feel heat on my legs and the force is being burned down.
Oof.
And I literally like see the flames sort of come toward me. And then the movie ends. And I just had this deeply visceral experience, David, and tears in my eyes as I walked out. Mm-hmm. And that evening, as I was walking the promenade, I had this pit, in my stomach saying, what are we doing? We have this beautiful planet and we have basically a decade to take care of it. And more importantly, what am I doing to make a difference? Awesome. And I sat with that pit for a while, and then the pandemic happened. And I sort of, almost interestingly, the pandemic sort of got me into action. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what's the difference that I can make? What's the small difference that I can make? And I decided I'm going to write this really quick, agile book. People need some of the tools to be agile and authentic right now. And so I wrote a really short book. It's called Wired for Disruption, and it's about 5 shifts in agility to lead in the future of work. And it's also about how we can each be a force for good in times of disruption. And that's why I'm really excited about connecting with your audience, because I know that so many of them are wanting to be a force for good.
Well, yeah, I think your book is just going to be spot on for the folks that Margaret and I work with in the nonprofit world. We like to say the folks in the nonprofit world are, more purpose-driven. And so this is going to be a super helpful resource. And I seem to recall you and I having a conversation, I think it was just when you came back from Davos. And I remember seeing on your Zoom, because we were connecting by Zoom before the pandemic hit. And I remember seeing like your wall, and you had all the chapters laid out, and you were talking to me about the book. And I think I had invited you to come on the podcast, and you said, well, maybe when I get the book done, and you were like you were in the old mode of creating a book. And then the pandemic hit, and the next thing I know, the book's done. Talk about agile. I'm curious, of those 5 agile superpowers, which one did you utilize that was just incredible. It was very powerful. How did you do it?
Yeah, so I think the one that is at the core of the model that I talk about is neuroemotional agility. Hmm. And neuroemotional agility is the ability to activate neural states that accelerate our adaptability. And what often happens in times of disruption is that our body gets into threat states, as you know, David, right? David and Margaret, you know this, right? And so how do we proactively get ourselves out of threat states? Our threat states often get us into fight, flight, freeze types of modes. And for me, what felt like, okay, that helped enable the book is quickly getting myself out of that place of anxiety or fear or whatever and saying, how can I be a contribution right now with what I have to offer right now? And what I thought about, which is one of the accelerators I talk about. So the book is 5 forms of agility and it's got 15 accelerators, which are very powerful, small tools, very quick tools that people can utilize now. And one of the accelerators is the purpose accelerator. And it's about literally shifting ourselves from a state of threat to a state of contribution. And how do you connect with what energizes you, what your strengths are, and what your community needs? And as I thought through that, I thought, well, what really energizes me is writing and I tend to be a huge introvert. And so I just went into this hole, which is the reason why, David, I was like, no, I don't want to be on a podcast. I just want to focus and write, because I felt like this was something that was needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hannah, we work with so many different leaders in the nonprofit world and have definitely seen in my meanderings, some who have been very activated and many others who are still really stuck in their fear. You know, what would you offer to the folks who are really still having trouble connecting with what matters about the work that they're doing?
Yeah, I think it's such a good question, Margaret. So the other accelerator that is part of neuroemotional agility, I talk about the Kubler-Ross change curve. And it's really sort of a grieving curve, which is about what happens to performance as we go through a period of a disruption happening, our body going into this, you know, roller coaster of emotions is what it is, where you go through sort of denial and then some element of anger and then, you know, grieving. And that is a normal response for the body. And that's just kind of how we are. And so I would say to those folks, you know, tend to yourself. And the accelerator I talk about in the book that is part of neuroemotional agility is compassion, specifically starting with self-compassion. Mm-hmm. And at the same time as I wrote the book, Margaret, I thought nobody wants to read, you know, a really long book like War and Peace during this time. So I'm going to make it really short. And it is, it's really short. But then what I wanted to do is embed it with podcasts, which is when I first started my podcasts. And so I talked to a lot of folks that are experts as well as people who inspire me. And one of the folks that I spoke to is Kristen Neff. Kristen is a researcher in self-compassion, and there's now been 2,600 studies on self-compassion. And it talks to the power of just accepting ourselves as we are and giving ourselves some sense of compassion. The other expert that I interviewed on the podcast is called the Transformational Leadership Podcast. And the other expert I interviewed is Dr. Richard Boyatzis. And his book is called Helping People Change. And what I love about his work is through, you know, 25 years of neuroscience research and fMRI studies, what he's found is that our brain operates in two modes. There is an analytical neural network and a empathic neural network. And when you actually activate the empathic neural network, which you can do with senses of gratitude, a sense of feeling compassion or experiencing compassion from others, thinking through how others have helped you. When you get into that empathic neural network state, you're actually more open to new thinking. You're open to being more agile. You actually are more connected and curious. You are more creative in those states. And so in the book, I really talk about how we ourselves can activate those states within ourselves, but then more importantly as well, or equally as importantly, we can activate those states with the people that work with us, with our colleagues that we're concerned about, because this is a time that is a really emotional time for a lot of people.
Yeah, I want to pick up on that because you said, you know, the people we work with. And in the nonprofit world, there are a lot of different stakeholders. You have the board, you have the staff, you have donors, you have the people you serve, and you talk about stakeholder agility as one of the five agility superpowers. And I'm curious what that's all about and how it might help folks in the nonprofit world who have all these different stakeholders.
Yeah. So I wrote about stakeholder agility because more and more, David, the problems that we're solving for, and this is so particularly true in the nonprofit world, they're collective problems. So the pandemic is a great example of a problem that is not going to be solved by one entity or one individual. It's going to take all of us, the collective, the ecosystems, to solve the problem. And stakeholder agility is the ability to manage through the competing needs often of different stakeholders in your ecosystem to actually take a step back and take an ecosystem view. So often we are so focused very narrowly on, you know, the boss or the task that needs to be done. And I've seen more and more the leaders that we need for the future are going to be leaders who have this ability to take a step back, see the whole, and then make sure that they have the right trusted relationships with the individual parts of the whole so that they can focus and bring all of these individual parts together against a common mission and purpose and can move the ecosystem forward.
Yeah, in the article that you wrote, you do talk about one of the superpowers is being able to notice both your own emotional state as well as those around you. Any suggestions for people who haven't really gotten a lot of training?
Yeah, so I'm a huge fan of mindfulness, Margaret. And I think that mindfulness is a superpower and is so much needed in today's world. The ability to be present to ourselves, the ability to be present to what's happening in others. And the tool that I talk about in the book, it's one of the 15 accelerators. It's called the Four Levels of Listening. And it's all about how do I listen? And as I get into deeper levels of listening, listening with empathy and really noticing how the other person is feeling, being with them in a completely non-judgmental place in where they are, it really creates the safe space that creates trust. And trust is the currency. I talk about trust agility as one of the superpowers of agility. It's the currency of the future because more and more when there are no, we live in an unpredictable world that puts us in threat states because we can't control so much of what is happening around us. And so the more we can create trusted and safe spaces for people to create together, to be curious together, to learn from each other, that is what trust agility is all about.
And you were bringing up the mindfulness, the topic of mindfulness. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think you have like a course out on LinkedIn, or is that still something that people can find?
Yes, absolutely. I'm glad you reminded me, David. So
I had to remind you of your own course, Anna.
I know. I should be better at plugging these things, shouldn't I? So we have a course, and last I heard, it was actually free. So please share that course in the notes as well, because LinkedIn Learning made that course free very early in the pandemic because they recognized that we need mindfulness practices. And this course has mindfulness practices for challenging times, including workplace. So it's called Mindfulness Practices at Work on LinkedIn Learning, or Linda. And it's got little 5-minute practices that you can actually try that help you create new neural pathways to deal with ambiguity and unpredictability and difficult emotions and challenging times. And yes, thank you.
Yeah, well, I think that ties into the other two agility superpowers, learning and growth, that you mentioned in the blog post. So for the audience, go check out Henna's course. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's available at no cost, so you can grow and learn in your mindfulness practice. Yeah. So what else, Margaret? Anything else we have for Henna today? Anything burning questions you have while we have her here?
I have one more burning question. I was so fascinated in your bio by all of the places in the world that you've lived. And I imagine that contributed to the idea of agility in so many ways. But I just wanted to hear you tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Pakistan, Margaret, and I grew up there until the age of 11. And then my dad, who was working for an American oil company, got relocated to Tanzania in Africa, East Africa. So we spent 3 years in Dar es Salaam and learned how to speak Swahili and went to international schools. And then we got moved to the Philippines to completed my high school in the Philippines and then went to live in Thailand. We were relocated to Thailand and then we landed in Texas. And that was a culture shock.
I bet. That was the one that totally pushed you. Yeah. And I'm imagining that informed a lot about your thinking around agility.
Yeah. Well, it's made me really curious, which I think is I so value curiosity, and especially in times of disruption, that goes back to the point that David was making about learning agility and growth agility. The more we can be curious to start with a beginner's mindset about what we need to learn, because so much of what our brain assumes is true is habitual, right? And when things are changing so quickly, and you know, David and I are both fans of mindfulness and practitioners. I've been practicing mindfulness for over 14 years. You know, we realize that, you know, life is like a river. And our brain is, and it's sort of like a movie, you know, that keeps changing all the time. But our brains are like little Polaroids. They like, we only take little pictures. And so we don't catch up to the movie. And especially for leaders in this time, the ability to unlearn is so important, which is actually mindfulness is so important for that, because you're starting to train yourself to just be in the present moment and question your own biases.
Yeah. Well, if you had to give the audience something to try, Hannah, we always like to end the podcast, this action-oriented podcast, we like to give them something to go practice or go try. What would you suggest?
So the first thing to try is the agility quiz that I have on my website. And if you can add that in the show notes, that would be great. It's a 5-minute quiz. And what it helps people understand is, you know, how are you in these 5 different superpowers of agility? And it'll help you, you know, learn where you are. And then it'll give you some tips based on whatever area that you're interested in. So I hope that you'll try that.
Awesome. And where can folks find you, Hannah? And on the web and to get your book?
Yeah, so the best place to find me is through my website. It's called Transformational Leadership. And my mission is to really help people be transformational leaders who are forces of good in times of disruption. So, you know, perhaps find me there and you can Google me.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Hannah. I want to acknowledge you for the work you do, but more importantly, who you are and the stand you're taking to help leaders during these troubling times. So thank you for joining us on the podcast, and go find Hannah out on the web and get her book, Wired for Disruption. Take the quiz. And of course, we always like to end the podcast by inviting you to subscribe. You can find the Fundraising Leadership Podcast on iTunes, on Google Podcast, and Spotify. And please do subscribe and rate and review it if you like what you hear. It really helps us with the podcast so we can continue to produce it for you. Now go put this into practice.